In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The summer before starting at the seminary, I was working at a curtain rod factory in my hometown of Sturgis, Michigan. And being how it was an evening job, I helped out at the church and the school during the day until school closed that summer. One day we were having a field day at the church, and my job was to grill the hot dogs. I figure somebody with a college education would be able to do that. But then this gorgeous gal came up to talk to me. And my thought was, who is she to begin with? And I thought, obviously well-educated. And she stopped to talk. She goes, "Mike, how are you doing? I haven't seen you in so long. What have you been up to? Do you have children in the school here?" I was still single at the time, so I said no. And we made small talk, and I chatted, and I told her that I was going to be going on to the seminary that fall and was going to be a Lutheran pastor. But I still, for the life of me, could not figure out who she was. And finally, after she made remarks about a Polynesian restaurant in Kalamazoo, I realized this was the gal that I had dated my senior year in high school and took to the prom. I simply did not recognize her by sight. Just seeing her didn't do it. So often, we see things, we see people that we perhaps might trigger something in our minds, but we still don't place it or them, simply perhaps because they're out of context. We see them somewhere that we don't expect them to be. To use a military term, we see them out of uniform. Perhaps you remember that growing up of perhaps running into your pastor at the grocery store, and he comes up and he says, "Hey, David, how are you doing?" And you go, "Who are you?" But then you realize who it is. We just don't expect to see them or anticipate seeing them in certain places. Now, in the case of the disciples, even though they'd seen Jesus two times already, probably really didn't anticipate seeing him there on the shore after spending all night fishing. Some scholars say that they didn't recognize him, that they didn't realize that it was Jesus because there was a fog or a mist of some kind. They say they didn't realize that it was Jesus because he used some kind of a mind trick to prevent them from realizing that. But the fact is that Scripture here, St. John writes, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. That simple. Didn't say why, just says they didn't know that it was Jesus. The Scripture says time and again that they, or here, that they didn't know that it was Jesus. And this, again, was the third time that they'd seen him since his resurrection on Easter Sunday. The fact is, they simply didn't know who it was by looking at him. So often, we might have tendencies to just sail by Jesus and not recognize him. Or perhaps we just sail by in the thought that we're just taking him for granted. We assume that he's going to be there. Or perhaps not going to be there. So often we walk into this chapel. We stick our finger in the font. We make the sign of the cross. And we press on to the pew. So often, not even breaking conversation with those we walk in with. What is the thought, perhaps, going through our mind at the time? We approach the rail to receive the Lord's body and blood. We bow. We make some kind of genuflecting movement. But why? Because everyone else is doing it? Those that seem to be the leaders in our class do it? Or because it's just simply the pious thing to do? Dr. Gard, in his homily on Monday, told us of that federal agent that he spoke with at the Pentagon who came out from that wreckage of the crashed jetliner holding a child's shoe and said, "Where is God?" Perhaps then we need to ask that same question. Those of us who claim to be, who confess to be Christians, need to ask that question of ourselves. Perhaps more of a question of introspection. Where is God? Because many places in Scripture, or several places, it says that many will come saying, "I am He." Christ must be recognized in His action, in His word, within context, not without context. We seek the Lord where He has promised to be. That is in His word and in His sacraments. We seek the Lord where He has promised to be because there is where we will find Him. There is where we will recognize Him. That morning on the lake, the disciples recognized Jesus in His command. That Greek word there, when Jesus said, "Cast out your net," is not a simple request saying, "Why don't you try this? Why don't you try a new kind of bait?" He said, "Cast your net on the right side of the boat." And evidently there was some weight to that command because they did it. The disciples recognized Jesus in His action because they realized that it is He alone that can accomplish such great things, that only the Lord can bring something out of nothing. Sometimes we are like the disciples. We need to be jolted back to reality. And sometimes that jolt is gentle and encouraging. Sometimes the jolt can be not so gentle. But the result is the same. We are driven to see that Jesus, that it is Jesus that has given us His story in baptism, in the Lord's Supper. That it is Jesus who has given us His story to be our story. Thus, as we stick our finger in the font, as we make the sign of the cross, we hear the words that St. Paul wrote to the Romans. "You who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life." We have been attached to Christ's death, and we have been attached to His resurrection by virtue of our baptism. We hear the words that St. Paul wrote to the Galatians. "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." we have put on Christ. Thus, as we make the sign of the cross, either at the invocation, as we enter chapel, when it might be, we can indeed say, it is the Lord. As our pastors speak those comforting words of absolution into our ears, we hear the words that the prophet Nathan spoke to King David after David's sin with Bathsheba and after his confession to Nathan. Nathan said, "The Lord has put away your sin. You shall not die." And we certainly hear the words we learned in catechism, that we receive absolution, that is, forgiveness, from the pastor as from God himself, not doubting, but firmly believing that by it our sins are forgiven before God in heaven. And we hear the words of Good Friday, spoken from the cross, "It is finished." And certainly then, it is the Lord. And as we approach the rail to receive the Lord's body and blood, we certainly hear those words, if not in the words of institution, we hear Jesus saying, "This is my body, this is my blood, given and shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins." And we know that where there is forgiveness, there is life and there is salvation. Because we believe that in and with the bread and wine we receive the very body and blood of our Lord, we can certainly approach the altar. We can bow in reverence. We can genuflect, whatever the custom might be, within reason, of course. And we can say, "It is the Lord." The best part about all of this, dear friends, is the certainty that as redeemed, forgiven children of God, living on His promises, even on those days when we just seemingly sail by Jesus, sail by the font, even on those days when those words of absolution seem to fall on stopped up ears, even on those days when we approach the Lord's table, perhaps we might say on autopilot, yes, on those days when the fishing is fruitless, and they happened, and these days happen to us all, we can still look up to see our Lord standing there, that same Lord who is present in His word and sacrament with those survivors and agents and victims at the Pentagon on 9/11 and the days following. We are the same Lord, or that same Lord that greeted Mary Magdalene and gave her His story to be her story. The same Lord, that same Jesus, stands there on the shore bidding us, "Come and have breakfast." He bids us taste and see that the Lord is good. And by the grace of God, we can say with all certainty, "It is the Lord." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.